Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. You are about to get notified.
KUCI.
It makes me wanna.
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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed on this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about the show or other programs on KUCI, please log on to KUCI.org for the latest program schedule.
Good morning to the world. You are listening to Get Notified. This is DJ Ginger MC, and we have a killer show lined up for you this morning. It's been an awesome year, and we might as well go out with a bang. So I am bringing on the show today for the entire hour somebody who I recently met because his articles caught my attention online, and that's a great way to meet somebody out there. His name is Deep Patel. He is an author. He is an entrepreneur. He has worked on comedy shows produced by Charlie Sheen. He's been featured in Forbes, The Huffington Post, Entrepreneur Magazine, Elite Daily, I'm sure a bunch of other stuff. Deep, are you there with me, sir?
I am. Thank you for having me, Ron.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming out. How was your year? How was 2016 on a scale of 1 to 10 for you?
It was probably a good 8 or 9, man.
An 8 or 9. That's very cool. You know what? Asking the question of a scale of 1 to 10 has got to be one of my favorite things to do. And psychologically, it's funny because there's probably two or three things that could have gone a little bit better for you, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Right? So I'm excited to have you here today. You wrote an article about my business partner, Leonard Kim, and it was a great article. And then I started to thumb through your other articles. And for those of you who are a fan of great writing, let me just tease you with some of Deep's titles. The 10 Best Motivational Books of 2016. 10 Proven Ways to Make Your Own Luck. Steve Wozniak offers four pieces of advice for first-time entrepreneurs. The top 8 marketing trends that will define 2017. Do I need to go any further? I'm hooked, and I'm about ready to leave my show to go do some more reading. So you've got a number of articles here. How long have you been writing for Entrepreneur?
Since the summer, I think. I've been writing for them since July, I believe.
You're a writing beast. A lot of people jump up and start writing, but then don't have as much volume as you have. So would you consider yourself a writer first? Because I know that you've got this book that I want to talk about as well. You've got another book on the way. Because you're also this multimedia guy. So are you more of a writer or are you more of a videographer and multimedia kind of guy?
I would say it's 50-50.
Okay, very cool. So tell our audience a little bit about sort of your path and how this all happened. I know a lot of people will want to write for Entrepreneur or they'll want to write their own book. Did you have a particular path? I mean, did you start writing when you were in the womb? I mean, tell us a little bit about your history who you are.
So for the book, I started that middle of sophomore year. I got sick and I was out of school for like 2 months. I got really sick, so basically I had nothing to do. I was extremely bored, and I had this idea for a cool book, and I finally just got started on it, and I wrote like several pages each day, and when summer came around I finished the book, and then I sent a literary proposal out to like 50 agents and about 100 publishers and 100 agents, and I heard back from someone the next day. We got on a phone call and then we sealed the deal.
Wow, how cool is that? So this is traditionally published, this book?
It is, yeah.
Wow, so just for all of you listening out there, the next time you get sick, stop whining and stop complaining. You can keep sniveling and you can keep coughing, that's cool. But look at this, Deep took the opportunity of being sick, which most people would take as a disadvantaged spot, woe is me, and you started writing a book, but not even just writing a book. You wrote a couple pages every day. And I think that is such a killer piece of advice out there. Next time you're sick, get a piece of paper and a pen or laptop, write a couple pages per day, and who knows, you might end up with a book. And then go even further than that, you obviously have thick skin, because putting yourself out there to hundreds of people that are all basically going to say no, that gave you the opportunity for one person to say yes. And all it takes is one person, right?
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
So tell me quickly about this book. It's the Paperboy's Fable, The 11 Principles of Success. And you were able to get in front of some pretty iconic people to get their advice. Is that correct?
For sure, for sure. So the book is basically a business fable that has a paperboy going through paper routes. And he goes through these 11 stages. And basically each one teaches him a different principle. And the reason I chose to have the book centered around a paperboy is because my dad was a paperboy a while back, and he always told me how crazy it was and like how much he learned from it. That was his first job. So yeah, I kind of jumped off of that point, and it ended up really well.
Very cool. So here's another little writing hack. If you don't know what to write, why not interview people, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So are you a fan of Tim Ferriss?
I am, yeah.
Okay, so I pre-ordered his most recent book 6 months ago, and it hit just before Christmas, and I'm working my way through it. It's probably about half a foot thick, and it's called The Tools for Titans. And it's right. An amazing book. It's the same kind of principle. He went out there, and based on his podcast, he interviewed all these amazing people, and he just asked them simple and crazy questions. And he's retelling those stories. It's a way to stand on the shoulders of giants that came before us. And the whole theme is, why try to reinvent the wheel when there's other people that have failed and failed to figure out what works? And it sounds like you did something similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think is the best, biggest takeaway lesson that you got from your experience in writing that book? Was one piece of advice something that really resonated with you?
Probably that, like, most people think what's impossible isn't really impossible, because, like, I wrote a business book with, like, almost no business experience, no writing experience or anything, and I was able to find a publisher. So for anyone who really doesn't have that platform to stand on, like, you can still, you know, publish a book or whatever it is.
I love it. So our show is essentially loosely tied to social media, and it's called Get Notified in honor of all of those notifications that pop up on your phone, unless you're smart enough to go into the settings and remove those notifications. But we cater to people who love social media and want to get better, people who are genuinely confused by social media, and people who genuinely hate social media. So in your opinion, this biggest takeaway from you for this book was that what seems impossible is not impossible. Do you feel that same advice can be applied towards social media?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Are you pretty big on using social media? What's your doctor's diagnosis? Like, let's pretend that you go to the doctor and they're like, all right, well, let's check your vitals. Okay, let's talk to you about your internet usage. What kind of a user are you?
Yeah, I'm a big Twitter fan and a big Facebook fan, and I'm just starting to hop on Instagram. I'm a little late to Instagram, but yeah, that's huge as well.
Okay, well, this is a good time for some selfish plugs, because I don't think I'm following you on Instagram, so I want to. What is your Instagram handle?
It's Real D Patel.
Real D Patel. All right, and then that is your Twitter, I know that, so at Real D Patel.
Right.
What about your Facebook?
Same with Facebook.
Same thing?
Yep.
Congratulations, because you have successfully completed one of the most challenging initial tests when it comes to social media, and that's having the same handle across all platforms. Good job. Wow. If there were more people
here,
definitely.
We'd
all be clapping.
Helps a lot.
You know, it's one thing that I always share with people on this topic. Have you ever heard of a website called, what is it? I always talk about this. I'll think of it in a minute. But it's a website that allows you to... Oh, Namecheck. Namecheck.com. It allows you to check your user handle for any and every single platform, including websites and whatnot. So if you are out there and you're new, and today you're going to get motivated by the end of the show to jump into this wild world of social media. The intimidating part in the beginning is choosing your name and then finding the correct name that you can have across all platforms. So if you go to namecheck.com, man, oh man, it is an amazing tool to use to get that. I did not have that advice, which is why I'm so passionate about sharing it, because on Twitter, I'm Ryan Foland, and on Instagram, I am Ryan.Foland. But the way I like to share with people is that every day on Instagram, the reason why you'd follow me is because I do a daily quote hand-drawn with a Sharpie marker. So just pretend that I take that Sharpie marker and put a dot in between Ryan and Foland. And part of my goal for today is to come up with a quote or quote you on something and illustrate it for you.
For sure, yeah.
See, I try to do one every day. Last night I was building a curriculum for this for strategic pitching and networking class that I'm teaching at UCI next quarter. And even though you have these daily goals, sometimes they just don't pan out. But that's okay. It's about the long-term game. So let's talk about how we can learn from you. And you've got this book to pull from. You are an avid user of social media. You like to tweet. You're new to Instagram. I want to really touch on the concept of multimedia in social media. We have this term that I've come up with here. It's called the GTO, and it is a grandma timeout. And it's cool. It can be a grandpa timeout as well. We don't discriminate. But for somebody who's listening and their knowledge of social media is maybe equal to that of their grandma or grandpa, which is not a bad thing, how would you explain multimedia as a word or what it refers to? So GTO, multimedia, and then explain it like you're talking with your grandma or grandpa.
Right. So I would basically say upcoming generations of social media are turning away from platforms such as Facebook and embracing multimedia style platforms like Pinterest, Instagram, for example.
So those platforms themselves include multimedia? Like, I'm grandpa and I'm still a little confused, Sonny. What is this multimedia thing?
Right. So it's basically moving away from old platforms, I guess, in a way, and moving on to what's trending.
So GTO trending. Right? Like, when your grandpa doesn't know what trending is, and maybe not everybody does. So GTO trending, and we're going to dig and we're going to find out for everybody. What is GTO trending?
For example, like, live streaming is huge right now. And yeah, I mean, live streaming is huge. It's in the hands of tens of millions of users.
Deep. We're going to go deeper here. GTO live streaming. You see what I'm doing here? We're getting into this vortex. And just as a timeout, when we're using this vocabulary and we're talking about social media, I think sometimes it's a little intimidating for people, because if you don't know exactly what multimedia is, and then you're not exactly sure what trending is, and then you don't know what live streaming is, you kind of get stuck. It's like a different language. So let's do a little quick vocab. Multimedia, it sounds like you're saying, is different. It's just moving away from old school traditional print paper. Is that right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so grandpa knows that there used to be paper boys, and now there is email and newsletter distributions and stuff like that. So it's newer media.
Exactly.
Then you mentioned trending, and trending is a derivative of just something that's trendy. And if something is more trendy, it's more popular. And so the things that are more popular online now would be trending. So live streaming would be trending. Well, what's live streaming? It's when you point the phone at yourself or somewhere else, and it is an exact replication that happens online, like a live stream. It's like a live TV show, right? Live streaming is like live TV.
Exactly.
So you are a millennial, I'm assuming?
Gen Zer.
You're Gen Zer. Oh my gosh, this is going to be exciting, because people are genuinely confused about the generation. So could you give me like a little spiel on Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, I'm not sure?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll start with Gen Z and millennials. The biggest difference between Gen Z and millennials is Gen Z has never lived in a time without technology. They've grown up to have iPhones. They've grown up to have social has always been a thing. They've always been on social media. Millennials, on the other hand, they didn't always grow up with, you know, technology. Like, you wouldn't have an iPhone when you're 15, like a Gen Zer. You didn't really have Instagram. You didn't use social media as often. I mean, Facebook is popular, still somewhat popular with millennials, whereas with Gen Zers, now it's Twitter and Instagram. So, yeah, I mean, Gen Zers are the only generation to grow up in it. They're the only digital native generation. They can't live without technology, basically.
I like that last part. They can't live without technology, and that's because they grew up with it. It was like their binky, right?
Exactly.
So, and it's crazy. I see these kids these days, and I'm not calling you a kid, but I'm talking like babies and like 1 and 2 year olds that are constantly on their parents' phone. Or, you know, I was in Target the other day, and it's like, you see the kids, their whole focus is on the parent just to get their attention to get the phone again. And it's like a binky.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, I am a proud millennial. I am on the, if we were looking at the goalposts and the category on the left goalpost are the older millennials and the right goalpost is the younger millennials, I have my arms and legs wrapped around that left post. So I am on the absolute fence of the millennial. And I grew up with rocks and seaweed and fishing poles and spear guns. And then I eventually moved up to a pager. And then I got the cool flip phone. And then I got the smartphone. And then I've gone through all these different versions of it. And yeah, I have experienced that offline to online transition. And I'm a huge proponent to help people realize that there's so much value in offline communication and offline interaction, and that online is really a supportive tool to help amplify a message or your message, but it's not the end-all be-all. But for these Gen Zs, is it the end-all? I mean, are you guys...
Yeah.
If you unplug the cord from the back of your head, do you faint and collapse and have a seizure or what?
I mean, I think most Gen Zers would, to be honest.
That's crazy.
Even
right?
Me, like, if I went without, like, I've purposely deleted all my social apps for a week to make sure I can go without it. It's crazy. Like, everyone's addicted to these social apps.
Yeah, we're living in a social media world, and I am a social media ginger. Well, that's really crazy. And think about it from a generational standpoint. I mean, evolution has happened over millions of years, but really in the last 20 or 30 years, there's been such a convergence of media that is so crazy. Now we have more processing power on our smartphones, even the lower end smartphones than we had on the first, you know, rocket to the moon. So it is crazy, but it brings up an interesting point. If you are living in this time, whether you are older, younger, or just coming up into the world in adolescence, you can't deny the fact that social media is an integral part of our society now. Would you agree?
I completely agree.
And when it comes to multimedia, because I really want to dig into this topic, how do we use multimedia, or what is the value of understanding a deeper knowledge of multimedia when it comes to using social media?
Definitely. So what's the value of it? Number one, I mean, you know, like I said, what's trending is where everyone's at, so you want to direct your attention towards that. And when you talk about multimedia, I mean, it's not even only social media, it's, you know, mobile marketing, live casting, podcasting, video, all of these things are part of multimedia. So basically, like, you can't go viral if you're not on something that's trendy. Like on Facebook, you have videos going viral all the time. But on Instagram, you have videos, clips, photos going even more viral. Why is that? Because Instagram's more trendy right now. Like, Facebook may have a bigger platform, but Instagram is where, you know, Gen Z is at.
Now, I ask this question to most of my guests. Would you, I guess, how do I phrase this? There's this common thought that more social media is better. And I'm just kind of taking the poll, because if people are just starting to get into social media, or if they're on social media like you, and then all of a sudden there's this new platform, you know, you're new to Instagram, how important is it for people to be on, say, all platforms versus the right platforms for them?
Right. So I think it's a matter of being on the right platform. I think everyone should be on every platform, but you have to find a platform that works the best for you.
And how would you suggest, what is the thought process if you're sitting down with a young Gen Zer or a confused millennial, and you're trying to help them step through the process? Because you're an entrepreneur, you've probably helped consult and mentor a lot of people. What are the initial steps that you would take to help people determine what social media platforms to be on? Because I still think that's one of the big challenges. If I decide, okay, I'm ready to jump off this cliff, well, where do I land? And how many times do I have to jump? What would that process be for you to help somebody through figuring out the right platforms to be on?
Right, right. So, I mean, it really depends on what their motives are. But the best way to go about it, I think, is getting set up on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and then testing every single one and seeing where they get the most engagement. And also testing different content. Like, content you put on Instagram isn't necessarily going to translate into Twitter or Facebook, and vice versa. So I think it's a matter of jumping on all the platforms and then finding which one provides the most engagement for your audience.
Well, I love that. That's actually a bit of a unique answer. So far, a lot of people will say focus on your market and who you want to approach and find out where they are and then go to that. But I kind of dig this approach. You're saying, you know what? Go out there, jump into the pool, see if you sink or swim, or if you like it, or if there's too much chlorine, or, you know, put your goggles on and hold your breath and see what happens, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And you were saying Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter are maybe those, at least, if you're going to start, get on those platforms and just see what's happening within those.
Definitely, yeah. I would say those are the three biggest platforms.
And I like that you like to tweet, because I like to tweet as well. That's definitely my favorite platform. Facebook, to be honest, I kind of get annoyed with, and I get lost in in the pictures and the stories and the videos, and it just like seems it's more of a time constraint, it almost seems like. I try to jump on just to do some stuff and jump off.
Yeah, no, Facebook is definitely becoming, I don't know, it's a big time waste, that's for sure.
Do you have any rules that help you to guide your time usage on social media? That's kind of an interesting topic, right? Because it's we say, yeah, jump in the pool, but if you stay in the pool all day, you're going to get very wrinkled, and you're probably going to forget about other things in life, and you might get into this vortex. So as a second piece of advice, you know, jump on the platforms, try these things out. What are some breaks, or how do we put in some regulations so that we don't get in and get in trouble, or get in and, you know, have our wife or somebody get upset with us?
I try to do three things. I check all my social and posts on social in the morning, afternoon, at night. And then between those times, I try not to check, you know, for notifications or whatever. So I try to basically engage with my audience at least three times, because if you check like every 2 minutes, it's going to do more harm than good, really. Then you're going to become addicted to it. And another thing I do is, even when I'm not necessarily like, so I have posts going out even when I'm not active on the platforms. Scheduling posts through Buffer is a big thing. If you have, like, for an example, if you want to share an article and you want it to go out at, you know, 3 p.m., but you don't want to forget about it, using a tool like Buffer is perfect. You can pre-schedule all your tweets, Instagram posts, or not Instagram, but Facebook posts. So, yeah, I mean, a scheduling tool helps a lot, too.
This is interesting because I am too a fan of Buffer. And this is buffer.com. There's no affiliate marketing here. We don't make any money, but we're just trying to save you time and brain damage. Now, there's also Hootsuite. Do you have a preference? Obviously, your preference is Buffer, but do you have any good or bad things to say about other platforms? How is it that you came to use Buffer?
Yeah, so I've Hootsuite, basically, like, I love Hootsuite as well. I don't have any complaints with it, but I really, like, they do the same thing. I just prefer Buffer, I guess.
What got me with Buffer is that, well, first of all, their story of how it sort of came about, and this gentleman was wanting to schedule the posts, but then that wasn't enough because it's still stressful to figure out, well, what time? Do I do it at 3? Do I do it at 3:30? Wait, no, people take their lunch at 10. No, 12. Ah, crap. There's the difficulty in deciding when to post, even if the function and mechanics are automated. And Buffer, the original concept was, what if there was a software that could scrape the web and find the best times to post based on when everybody else is online? And I thought that was rad. So you can say, I want to post 2 times a day from a frequency standpoint, and Buffer will decide what the 2 highest points of traffic potential are on Twitter, and it'll send it out during those times, which I think is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there's also a thing on Buffer where it logs all your... So basically, you can do a test to see, like, let's say you use, obviously you want to use those times that are highest, you know, but then I guess every audience is going to be different. So another thing to try is, you know, scheduling, like using a week to do it at random times and then going back, looking on Buffer and looking at where you had your highest engagement.
And that goes back to the whole Peter Drucker, what gets measured gets managed. And I think that a lot of people are not taking full advantage of the analytics, probably because the word is so difficult to spell. But, I mean, all these platforms have analytics on it, and this is a great point you bring up because, you know, if you're posting consistently at the same time, but you're not trying other times, then you don't know if you could improve your engagement or not.
Right, exactly.
Here's a question I have for you. This is my biggest beef with Buffer. Is that when it posts a picture or a link or something, I'm pretty sure you can determine that Buffer posted that post, right? It'll be like a short link that's a Buff short link. And if it's an image, it'll say something like, it'll save the file so that Buffer's in there. My concern is that if people consistently see only Buffered posts, then are they really thinking that I'm there actively managing my account? That's the one thing. Have you run into that, or what are your thoughts on that?
So I really haven't had a problem with that, and the reason is because, like, let's say I put something through Buffer and I get a comment on it, I try to respond to every comment or engagement. That way, like, you know, there's a person behind the account. It's not Buffer doing everything. So engaging with your audience is key. If you do that, I don't think there's a problem with using something like Buffer, but then if you schedule, like, let's say, all your tweets for 3 months down the road and you never log on to Twitter once, then that's a problem.
Okay, that actually was great advice because I've been hesitant to use the Buffer because I want it to seem like I'm the one posting. But you, I think, just solved my problem there, because as long as you're active and you stay engaged, people aren't going to question that it's some robot posting for you.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you use Facebook to schedule your Facebook posts, or do you use Buffer to schedule your Facebook posts?
So for that, it really depends, but usually I'll use Buffer just because I put a lot of the same content on... Or not a lot, but oftentimes I post the same articles on Buffer and, on Twitter and Facebook. So it's easier because Buffer, you can select what platforms you want it to go on. So instead of, you know, going back to Facebook and then rescheduling it through Facebook, if you can do it all at once, it saves a lot of time.
Very cool. Okay, so if you're just joining us, it's about halfway through our show. You're listening to Get Notified. This is Ginger MC, DJ Ginger MC. And I've got Deep Patel on the line. He is an entrepreneur. He is a Gen Zer, which means he had a iPad as a binky his entire life. And he doesn't know a world without social media. And he has a very unique perspective because he'll take situations in real life, like being sick, and instead of just being sick, he will use it to be productive. This guy was sick and wrote a few pages every day for his sickness, ended up with a book after pitching over 100 literary agents, plus or minus, got a traditionally published book, which is not easy these days, giving 11 insights and, you know, simple things to do that other successful people have done. We are talking about the incorporation of social media into the modern world. And one topic was, what platforms should you be on? Deep believes that you should take a dive into the deep end on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, even if you're not sure if they're the right platforms. Because if you test them out, you can see if it's the right type of crowd, if you get engagement, and see how the platform works. It makes sense. How do you know if you like the car unless you take it out for a test drive? So test drive those three social platforms. My next question was about the time suck with these different things. And he has this killer advice, which has to do with the number 3, which is my favorite number in my numerology sign. Check your stuff in the morning, check your stuff in the afternoon, check your stuff in the evening, and try to not drive yourself crazy by getting notified all day. And here, we're now sort of bridging into this concept that you can integrate social media and you can improve social media by using analytics and listening and paying attention. But how do you do all this if you're on 3 or 4 or 5 platforms? Ladies and gentlemen, there's software out there to help you. It is called Buffer. I use it, Deep uses it, and it helps to automatically publish with the highest potential traction times that people are online based on your frequency. But do not be a robot. And Deep solves this problem of automation coming across disingenuous by responding to every comment, because it is key to engage with your audience. And I actually just tweeted that out. So you can find that, find Deep. And I think for this, the second half of the show, we can talk about some real practical things about incorporating multimedia into your posts to, I guess what, it would be better posts, or you get more engagement. What is the reason for, you know, incorporating multimedia, which would be sort of images and video and live streaming and all that?
Right. I think it's both. Definitely getting more engagement.
So GTO engagement, because some people are out there going, look, I don't want to get married. I'm not ready for that type of a commitment. when you say engagement, GTO engagement, when it comes to social media, give me some examples of what that means. Like, pretend you're talking to a baby boomer who still thinks that the internet is dial-up and has a grandson that is a Gen Z and saying over Christmas dinner, like, oh my gosh, I got so much engagement on this post. And then, you know, grandpa's freaking out because he's like, you're too young to get married, son.
Right, right. So basically, what I mean by that is you reach more people, and you not only that, but you reach more people who like your content. Like, you know, they comment on your post, they ask you questions about what you post, simple things like that. Whereas Facebook, where if you post something and you get 0 likes, a very few impressions, your engagement is really low. And on Twitter, if you post something, you know, and get maybe 8 likes, 4 retweets, and you get, let's say, 7,000 impressions per tweet, then your engagement is fairly high there. So it really depends on, you know, the number of impressions you get as well. Impressions and engagement are pretty closely tied together.
And I love your vocabulary because I'm pretty sure you just gave grandpa a heart attack. this is interesting because there are these key words and things. You know, you're talking about impressions and you're talking about tweets and retweets and engagement all wrapped up into a bundle. And I think that's what's so fascinating about social media is it truly has created a new language. And I think that's somewhat the difficult gap between understanding and really enjoying. Because if you don't understand something, it's hard to enjoy.
Right, definitely.
And you know what? I just said that out loud. I'm going to take notes on that because that might be my quote. I still am going to get your quote. If you don't understand something, it is harder to enjoy. I think that's true. Is there a resource that you would guide grandpa to or grandma to or a millennial who feels like a grandma or grandpa out there? Is there a certain authority on social media that you look up to that, I mean, aside from entrepreneurs, specifically your articles?
Right. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Neil Patel. I'm sure you know who that is. His website has basically, it dumbifies everything.
Did you just say dumbifies?
Yeah, I did.
Hashtag DU. How do you spell dumbifies? Because I'm definitely going to tweet that out.
D-U-M-B-F-I-E-S.
Dumb. Do we need another I? Like D-U-M-B-I-F-I-E-S? Dumb.
Yeah.
Dumbifies. Okay. So, yes, Neil Patel. Tell us about Neil Patel because I am a huge fan as well. Even though he's in his pajamas for all of his targeted ads that he pixels me the whole time, I'm like, okay. Do people still really wear pajamas like that? I guess.
Yeah, so he's like an amazing content marketer. Basically, his website, neilpatel.com, has an amazing long guide for everything, step-by-step, what steps to take for each thing. Like, and he uses a lot of illustrations, too. So instead of, just writing everything in text, like he uses his social platforms or, you know, a different account or whatever, takes a screenshot of it and uses it in his post. That helps a ton. Like, yeah, no, he has amazing guides on everything, step-by-step guides. And like I said, he uses visuals in his post as well. So, you know, that visuals always do amazing.
You know who else I like is Social Media Examiner. And that's, you know, it's not just one person, but they have gathered such a conglomeration of experts. And I definitely sign up for their mailing list because they have great people that are giving great advice that are timely. That's how I stay on the front of things and learn is reading, you know, Social Media Examiner posts. And I went to the Social Media Examiner World Conference last year and it was amazing. Just so many people learning from so many great people.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, like, Social Media Examiner does a perfect job with this as well. Like, most of their posts, if you read them, they have step-by-step guides. But not only that, they use pictures in nearly every post, you know. So for every step, they have a picture for it. Like, they just put an article up today, how to use Instagram Live. And it shows you step-by-step. Like, once you get into the app, this is what you press, this is what you click on, and then this is how you do it. So basically, for anyone who's not experienced in this, it'll guide you step by step.
Very cool. Now, you talked about Instagram Live, and I just want to get your opinion on what Instagram is doing. Because if you don't know, Instagram was fairly simple in its platform 6 months ago, right? You basically had pictures and short videos that you could post and interact with, and then the videos went longer. And then all of a sudden it looked like Snapchat. And then it was Snapchat. And then now it's Facebook Live. What is your opinion on what Instagram is doing? Because there's still a lot of bad blood out there. People think that they're stealing, you know, features from other platforms, which they kind of are. But are you upset about that? Do you care?
I'm not upset about it at all because, you have to do what's trending. Like if somebody, it'd be dumb for them not to do it. But basically, they want to have whatever is, you know, hot, what people are using. So why wouldn't they do it? I mean, there's Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it at all. I think it's a good move on their end, even though they've gotten a lot of heat for it.
Are you a Snapchatter?
Yeah, I use Snapchat a lot.
Okay, and if you were to explain Snapchat, GTO, Snapchat, because it's still amazing how many people are using it and still how many people are confused by it. And of all platforms right now, that really seems like the biggest generational gap. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely.
So how would you explain to grandma and grandpa that you are on Snapchat? Or you go to take a picture of them and they ask for the Polaroid hard copy and you're like, grandma, I just snapped you. And she's like, what?
Like, right.
How do you explain Snapchat?
Two main things on Snapchat. You can send a picture to any one of your friends, any friends you have on Snapchat, and it disappears within a certain time frame. Like, you can select 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, up to like 10 seconds, I think, and it will disappear within that time frame. And I mean, when I say disappear, like, obviously you can take a screenshot or something, and then if you put it on what's called your Snapchat story, it'll stay up there for 24 hours and all your friends get to see it for 24 hours. So, and then after 24 hours, it's gone.
So you're pretty much documenting like the daily, the life in a day of, or a behind the scenes of, through pictures and videos.
Exactly.
And then it all goes away.
Right.
Hmm. Now, do you think that there's such popularity because it does just disappear? Does that make you more comfortable and confident in being silly or stupid or taking a picture that maybe you're just not sure on, but you snap it because you know it's going to disappear in 24 hours?
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, that's what made it, like, you know, explode, because people think there is a sense of trust in it, too. When it first came out, like, people would, you know, people still do this, take silly pictures, send it to their friends, because they know it's going to disappear. So it's more of a relaxed platform, I guess.
Because you're not stressed, because everything sort of disappears in 24 hours.
Exactly.
And now Instagram is doing something very similar with their stories. So on the Instagram platform, you can create a 10-second video or a picture and use fun filters and words. Now you can actually tag people in the Instagram stories, which I think is cool. And you're basically just showing a behind the scenes what's going on with less fear of it being public domain for the rest of your life.
Right.
Okay. Wow. If everybody else is as overwhelmed but excited as I am, join the club, because this is why social media is such an exciting but intimidating realm. We've talked about what to do if you want to get started, and it's just sign up and practice. How to not have social media rule or ruin your life is to find different times during the day to do it and try to do that consistently. There are platforms to make your life easier, like Buffer, when you're posting things. If you want to share a day in the life and you're afraid of things that are going to be posted forever on the internet, something like Snapchat or Instagram stories has this ephemeral nature to it, where you can do something dumb today and then you can, it'll be gone tomorrow. But on Twitter, I've read some statistics that an average tweet will live at most like 18 minutes. So there's still some sort of a here now but gone sort of element, although it always is on your timeline, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's why with Twitter, it's really important to, like, you know, get at least 4, 5, 6 tweets out every day. Whereas with something like Facebook, it's best to post really like maybe 1 or 2 times. And the reason is because, simply put, you get a certain amount of reach. This is for a page, on your page, and reach is, you know, the number of people who see your post. And if you post 2 times a day, your total reach is split between 2. And if you post 3 times a day, your total reach is split between 3. And if you post 5 times a day, it's split between 5, and so on.
Wow.
So posting too much will reduce your reach across all posts on Facebook. And as all posts, you know, fight over each other for reach.
Interesting. Now, this I don't think that we've talked about this before, and I just sort of perked up in my chair, not only because I realized that my posture was incorrect, but because I was all interested in this, right?
Right, yeah.
So what you're saying is that on a platform like Twitter, the more the merrier. Was that fair?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so on Twitter, the more the merrier. You tweet as you're doing it. You tweet 4 or 5 times a day. And of those tweets, is it okay that a lot of them or some of them are retweets and shares of other material? Or is this like 5 original tweets a day that you're talking about?
No, I mean, retweets definitely work. And then try to get at least a minimum of 3 original tweets, then I would say.
Okay, so 3 original tweets plus a couple other retweets. This is fun because I usually live tweet on my show, but my guests are usually so focused on the phone. But you've been tweeting and liking and retweeting, so you have that Gen Z multitask talent.
Right, yeah.
And when it comes to Twitter, we're talking about how the more is the merrier. But Facebook, let's talk about this for a second, because what you're saying is that Facebook, you get a certain amount of reach, and the reach is the amount of people that see your page. And this is really because of Facebook's algorithm, and an algorithm is a filtration process. Think of an algorithm as a colander, right? Like what you put your spaghetti in?
Yeah, definitely.
I've heard statistics that the sheer volume of posts and, you know, interactions on Facebook is so massive that physically, even with the internet and technology, there's no way that you could possibly see everything that's going on. So
with
that being said, is help me out understand that, because people, I think, get confused, or maybe they're naive and think, well, when I post this, the entire world sees it, when really not the entire world, just a certain amount of people that Facebook thinks wants to see it, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So
basically, if you post multiple times a day, then your reach is split between how many other times you post.
Okay, so it's not the more the merrier when it comes to Facebook.
Right, exactly. Like, let me give you an example. So on one day I tweeted 2 photos of quotes, and I think it got like maybe 200 likes each, about approximately. And then one day I tweeted just 1 photo of a quote, and it got over 1,000 likes. So that's not a coincidence. Like, Facebook's algorithm splits your reach if you post multiple times a day on your page.
Interesting. So Twitter is the more the merrier. Maybe the more the tweetier or something.
Yeah.
Right? So the more the tweetier. When it comes to Facebook, don't overdo the amount of posts. I'm trying to come up with something that's a little bit cooler, like a little rhymey. So Facebook, okay, you only have 1 face. Right? And then if you have multiple faces, like, it's harder to make eye contact. I don't know. Just imagine like Medusa with like all of her. No, she's just got the snakes. Which one has all the heads? Come on, Greek mythology here. I forget. But even if you don't, here's the power of the brain. Even though I can't come up with the actual mythical character, all of you are imagining like the 3 or 5 head monster, like in old basic animation form, attacking Godzilla or something. So you know what I'm talking about. But when you're dealing with Facebook, the more faces that you put out there, the less people see each individual face.
Right.
Then let's talk about Instagram, because what I like about Instagram, but what's also stressful, is that like when you post a picture, like, it's there, it's on your timeline, it's kind of part of your identity. And for me, that's where Instagram Live, I enjoy it, because I can post stuff that, like, oh, this is cool, I just want to share this, but I don't want it to be part of my timeline. It's not part of my, it doesn't reinforce my brand. So people, I think, really have to choose the best photos for Instagram. But what would you say is a good posting strategy for Instagram then?
Right. Even daily, once a day might be too much, to be honest, with Instagram. 1 picture a day is maximum. Nothing more than that. Instagram is, it's one of those platforms, like, you don't post unless it's, I guess, kind of important. Like, it's not Twitter at all, right? With Twitter, you know, you post very, very often. But with Instagram, like, high-quality photos of something that's, I don't know, like, something that...
Something you're proud of?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, so I think, yeah, so Instagram is probably the platform you want to post the least on. And when I say least, like, obviously you still want to post often, but not more than once a day, I think.
Okay. And there's a bunch of people out there that have just moved their hands from their steering wheels to their mouths, and they are chewing on their nails because they post more than once a day on Instagram. But you know what? That actually relieves a lot of pressure, right? Because if you don't have the pressure of posting a whole bunch, Instagram can be maybe a more laid-back platform. And for me, I do one quote per day. That's just kind of the reason that I got on Instagram, because I wasn't sure what to post. So I did an Instagram drawing every day. And for me, that works because it's once a day. And now it really makes me think about posting outside of that box. I dig it.
No, I think that's perfect, because with you, you have a common theme, right? Like, your fans are expecting one post a day.
Right. And last night, I did not post because I was too busy up creating a syllabus. So we have about 2 minutes left, and this is the quote case showdown. Let's take the information that you had today, what you think is maybe a great nugget, and we need to come up with a quote. We need a deep Patel quote that is deep in thought, that is deep in intuition, and we'll get thousands and thousands of likes, because it will be my one Instagram post for the day. Do you have any favorite quotes or things that you often say that we could quote you on?
Let's see. Maybe, to be successful on social media, you have to create a relationship with your followers.
So social success starts with relationships?
Yep, that's perfect.
Look at that. And that's only 5 words. I can figure that out. And I'm not sure what I'm going to draw yet, but I will figure that out. Because sometimes that's the best strategy that I feel, is not knowing what you're going to get yourself into, just getting the pen, with a Sharpie especially, because if you take a Sharpie pen, the cap off too long, the tip gets dry. So it's almost like a timer, right? I sit down and I pull the cap off, and all of a sudden the pressure's on to get that ink to paper.
Right, exactly.
And that's sort of a great analogy to wrap up the show. Everybody has access to a Sharpie marker. Everybody has access to social media platforms. They're free platforms. They're things that you can get on at zero to low cost. There are ways to communicate what you think is important out there to the world. I happen to use a Sharpie marker. People happen to use tweets or Instagrams, radio shows, podcasts, videos, Facebook Lives, Snapchats, Pinterest, all these different things. They're just avenues. They're all just different types of Sharpie pens. So use what Deepa said. Get motivated and at least get on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you do, follow at Ryan Folland and follow at Real Deep Patel. And just start drawing. And a Sharpie marker is permanent, but it's okay. You can always rip the paper out and start a new one. So, hey, Deep, this is great. I'd encourage everybody to go out there and just Google entrepreneur Deep Patel, and his profile will come up. Great articles. Show him some love and share him. It's been great having you. This is like a killer show to round off an entire year. Any final words that you'd like to say?
I think we've covered everything, man. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right. Well, together, as we transition to music here, we're both going to say your quote at the same time. And the quote is, social success starts with relationships. On the count of three, and then we're going to go to music, and then you're going to listen to some writers on writing up next. Just a reminder, it's social success starts with relationships. On the count of three, Deep, help me out. One, two, three. Social success starts with relationships. All right, buddy. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Everybody, have a great year, a safe New Year's. Please don't drink and drive. And get your resolutions ready to go so you can break them. And then we'll talk to you next year. Bye, everybody. I remember.